Well, good evening and praise the Lord. It is good to be back in God's house tonight. I'm glad we are moving through the phases of COVID-19. It's soon to be phased out. Amen. Father, we just thank you for everything that you're about to do. We thank you for the word that's going to go forth. We pray that the hearts and the minds would be prepared. We love you with all of our hearts. We pray for those who are listening now, who are watching. We pray that they would receive a blessing as well. And Father, as we go forth tonight, we just release your holy angels to touch each and every person under the sound of my voice. We release the anointing into the atmosphere. We thank you for your glory, your presence. We just magnify your name tonight, because you're worthy to be praised. We give you honor and glory for this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight we are going to be talking about the church under attack. And the church is under attack through the weapon of socialism. This is a very complex thing that the enemy is doing, because he is trying to destroy the church. And with him destroying the church, he's trying to destroy the United States of America and other churches around the world. You're going to see tonight why this is so important. You're going to understand, because the capitalist state that God called us to be and created us to be was for a purpose. And that was to further the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. There are some in the church who are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and there's some who are not. But what I want you to see tonight through this teaching is how much socialism is invading every area of the world. And as we go through this tonight, I want you to get an understanding and become familiar with this, so that you can recognize what socialism is and its impact upon your everyday life. We're living in unprecedented times, and the enemy is raging throughout the entire world. This attack is not just limited to the United States, but this is a worldwide push against God's people. There are other countries who practice capitalism. And I want you to look at this here. This is a list. I don't know if you can make it just a tad bit bigger. In 2017, the Economic Freedom of the World Index, the top 10 capitalist countries ranked from highest score to the lowest. For those of you who can't see or listening, number one was Hong Kong. Number two was Singapore. Number three, New Zealand. Number four, Switzerland. Number five, Australia. Number six, Ireland. Number seven, Estonia. Number eight, United Kingdom. Number nine, Canada. Number 10, United Arab Emirates. What do you think about that? What should be the first thing that should kind of pop into your mind? Where is the United States? Look at all the damage that has been done for a period of 8+ years. Let that sink in for a bit. Does anyone see a problem with this list? According to the statistics, in 2020, we are ranked number 13 right now. This is after everything has been going on with the boost in the economies, with the election of Donald Trump as president, for a switch and a change. Even after things have been changed, regulations have been removed to further increase capitalism and commerce, number 13. This ought to give you an understanding of what's really taking place right now, and why the fight is so hard and so real. In 2012, do you know where we were ranked? Nope. We were number two. Number two in 2012. Germany was ahead of us. And China was right behind us. If that doesn't tell you anything about what's going on, something should. You really have to see how far we've traveled on a downward slope since then. A lot has happened in 8 years. How have we as a nation slipped from number two to number 13? And again, why aren't we number one? We preach the gospel. Are we living it? Proverbs 14:34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. How have we fallen so far so fast? We are in the midst of one of the greatest spiritual battles of all time. This battle is to destroy the Church of Jesus Christ and remove it from the United States altogether. You have to understand that. And I use finances to get your attention so you can understand and see what's really going on. But there's far worse things than the economics. But I needed to do that to you so you could see where we're at. We must do our part. We must stand against the darkness that has been prophesied many, many years ago. There are leaders who have been positioned by the devil to bring about radical change to how this nation functions. These leaders are constantly attacking the Constitution of the United States and the freedoms that the Constitution provides. Now, to some, this is not significant. It doesn't mean anything. But if you're trying to manipulate governments so that they all can join together and become one forces, what is your number one goal? Any sovereign nation, any nation that has its own constitution, your goal is to attack that constitution and rip it to shreds. Get it to the place where the people don't believe in it and want to write a new one. When they write a new one, it's not going to be as strong as the original one, because the principles and the moral standards that the original founders lived by and lived upon are not being practiced today. So, what better thing for the enemy to do than to attack every nation that is practicing some form of capitalism and get everybody on the same page? It's not an accident that they're attacking us. I'm saying they being the devil, they being the people who are working for the devil. And there's a long list. Everybody has Facebook, sees George Soros. You see all of the other people that are on that list. And they're using different groups to piggyback off of one another. But I don't want you to focus on George Soros. I want you to focus on the kingpin. And the kingpin is the devil. The devil hates you. He hates the church. He hates God. And he's going to use whoever. And this is why I'm trying not to focus on a person. Because in the back of your mind, you have to always remember that it's the devil that's doing this. Because George Soros can die. Who's going to be raised up to take his spot? To fill his place? There's somebody always waiting in the wings to do this. There just always is. Because if you knock one person off, the next one pops right back up. So it's not important for us to focus on a name or a person so much as it is for us to realize that we're in a spiritual battle and it's the devil. Everything can be traced right back to the devil. There have been demons, leaders, working for years to change this nation from the inside out. They attack Christianity, the Bible, and anyone who supports it. You need to know, as Christians and as a citizen of the United States, the First Amendment. You need to know all of them. But for the purpose of tonight and understanding socialism, you need to understand the First Amendment. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Now, I could say something else at this point, but I'm not going to go there tonight because we'll be in a different direction. But going back to Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. You are not to have a state-run church, which means the government, your town officials, your governors, senators, state representatives, and even the president is not supposed to tell you how to worship, when to worship, how you worship. This is clearly written into the Constitution, and this is a freedom that we have that we need to express. And when someone treads on that freedom, the church should be screaming and hollering and saying, no, 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 don't do this. This is not happening in some places. I shouldn't say it's not happening altogether, but it's not happening in some places. The government came in and said, you can't because of COVID. And unfortunately, 75% of the churches said, okay, do what you got to do. In the name of safety, in the name of peace, in the name of, oh, we're tired and this will be a good vacation for us. We don't really need to meet. This is just a job to me anyway. See how the enemy slips in and does what his dirty work is. There are many states who have had their churches threatened to be or completely shut down because the elected official, and I said elected official on purpose because it's not just governors in some places. Some governors are good. The governor for the state of Delaware has been very good with churches. But there are town officials, town councils, town leaders, senators, and representatives who fit in this category too. And they're threatening to shut down churches. So the elected official in that state did not know or understand what the First Amendment means. The ones who did know what the First Amendment meant fought against the elected officials who were used by the enemy to try and steal away their First Amendment rights to practice religion. Those who did not know their rights gave them up and let the elected officials run over them. This silenced many churches across the country. And it was a big silence. There were over 40 states, including Virginia, Maine, Kentucky, and Illinois, that have lawsuits against them because some elected officials, under the influence of the Antichrist spirit, tried to shut the churches down in these areas. And again, drawing your attention to the devil and the angels that are up under him, the demonic angels. These things are spiritual that is going on. The Federal Courts of Appeals has ruled in our favor twice in Kentucky. In the Kentucky case of Maryville Baptist Church, granting emergency injunctions that prevent Governor Beshear from placing restrictions on churches. So we have the backing of the Appellate Court of the United States. We have the backing of the Supreme Court of the United States. Everyone else needs to come in line, and they need to follow in line with the Constitution. Remember this. Churches have a First Amendment right to exist without government restrictions. Houses of worship are entitled to special treatment, not merely equal treatment. That right that we have in the First Amendment should be respected. It should be honored. Number two, the American people have the First Amendment right to worship without government restrictions. Government cannot restrict the free exercise of religion and cannot establish a religion. They cannot come in and say this is the first church of President Donald Trump. If they do that, peace out. It's time to go. Something's wrong. And you need to know this as a Christian. You need to know this as a believer. Because as soon as things like that start happening, there's trouble. There's trouble there. And as a citizen, if you don't know what your rights are, you will easily walk away from them. And once they're gone, they're hard to get back. They're hard to replace. Because someone says, well, this is a precedent, and we've done this before, and now it's legal. Roe v. Wade. It's okay to have abortions. It's a precedent. So you can't take it away. And you have to fight and fight and fight to get rid of it. We don't want to lose ground anymore as a church, as a body of believers. We want to go forward and take ground. And the defensive mindset that we have of this whole this is my little square of church, and no one else can come in here, and I'm not going to join together with other churches because that means that you might steal my people, and they might like you better than me, and I'm all of the baloney that it is. We've got to band together as churches and fight against this stuff that's going on. We have to. On May 22nd, 2020, in addition to the Constitution, President Trump ordered the following. Today I'm identifying houses of worship, churches, synagogues, and mosques as essential places that provide essential services. Trump said during a hastily arranged press conference at the White House where he didn't take questions. He said if governors don't abide by his requests, he will override them. It's a shame that it had to go to this step, but thank God we had somebody to make that step because they were seriously impeding upon our rights. They were trying to take our rights away as Christians. Question for you. Why did it take lawsuits and an order by President Trump to start getting people to understand that the churches should have never been closed? Should have never been closed. There's no reason in the world why the churches couldn't get proper safety precautions, do what they needed to do in order to protect people. But it was automatic, no, you can't do that in some states. In some states, they did that. Because the Antichrist spirit is at work and he is moving the world closer into a one-world government control situation. Now, you always have to put this in the back of your mind. I know we don't talk about this all the time, and we're not trying to espouse fear in anybody, but at the same time, you need to be remembering this. You have an enemy who is trying to get everybody to do the same thing. Everybody to conform and bend. You have to wear the same clothes. You use the same monetary system. You know, you go to the same grocery store. All of these things that are being done behind the scenes are pushing us towards a socialistic society. So let's look at Revelation chapter 13, verses 4 and then 6 to 8. This is coming. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This is in Scripture. Do you understand that? This is in Scripture. This is where the direction that the demons and the devil are going to. You have to be able to feel the tide changing and turning in this direction. Look at all of the stuff that has happened. Look at your health care. Everything's digital. It's electronic. It's easier. It's more convenient. But what happens? It's easier to put it all in one place. your heart doctor can see what your proctologist said. Your proctologist can see what your gynecologist said. The emergency room doctors can see everything that everybody said. They can pull your blood work all from the same place. It's convenient. It's easy. But what else is it opening the door for? It's making everything more simple to become one. It's making everything to be more simple to be controlled by one group, one entity, one person. God spoke this to Pastor Barber. He said that Satan has come down to make war with the saints. If you don't understand that we are in a battle right now, you are in trouble. You are. This is an all-out fight to pull you out of the hands of God and to destroy you. We are not at the point where all of the governments are becoming one kingdom yet, but the enemy is working behind the scenes to start this process, for this process to happen. We just are. Everything is there. It's in place. If you talk to Brother Al, he'll tell you it's been in place for years. We're just now becoming aware of it. They've been working with different groups behind the scenes, talking to each other, planning, getting things together. And they're about to pull the string and tie it together and make it one big, beautiful picture in their eyes. But the reality is, it's destruction for the entire world. You need to understand that the devil is lining things up for his kingdom to manifest on the earth. The Bible says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, or what we know as the second heavens. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. In which you once walked, you were following the ways of this world, influenced by this present age, in accordance with the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit who is now at work in the disobedient, the unbelieving, who fight against the purposes of God. Do you believe that all of these people right now who are working to bring socialism into the United States are working for the Spirit of God? Do you honestly believe that they're out for everybody's good? Their idea is to group everybody together, collect the wealth for themselves, and then give it to themselves. You're dumb if you believe that they want to give you a house and a phone and a car, pay for your kids to go to college, pay for your grandchildren to have round-the-clock daycare. You're missing everything that's going on. They're trying to get you to agree to getting rid of the system that we're on so it's more readily available for us to be grouped together in one lump sum and they can just separate and divide at will. At will, whenever they feel like it. Oh, you don't like what we're doing? Pack your bags up and we'll take you to a different area. You're being packed up, put on a train, and you're never coming back because you're making noise. You're causing people to question what the government's doing. How many people got come against during this last this COVID-19 crisis because they said, hey, this doesn't make sense? You know, some of the stuff that they're telling us about this disease isn't adding up. It's not lining up. Some of it's true, but some of it isn't. And why are we not being given the choice to make a decision for ourselves as to what we do? Let's talk about the mask, for instance. Some people say the masks are good. Some people say the masks are bad. The government's saying you don't have a choice. You got to wear a mask. Do you want to live that way the rest of your life? Where the government just tells you flat out, point blank, this is it. We're losing our choices, and socialism is about doing that. It's about taking control out of the hands of you as an individual and putting it into the hands of a pool of people so that they all can make decisions. It's not good. You should have the freedom to choose whether or not you want to go to church or not. You take that risk. You take that risk whether you want to go out in public and be a part of what's going on every day. The government shouldn't tell you how to live and what to do. Satan has power over the air, and God has called us to get into the third heavens above him so that we can fight the enemy from above. We have to fight the enemy from above. And the sooner that we realize that we're not on his level, the sooner that we'll see that God has already given us the victory over him. And too many times Christians are trying to fight the devil toe to toe. God's not called us to do that. The second heavens is here. We're supposed to be in the third heavens, dropping bombs down on him and destroying his kingdom everywhere he goes. He should be like, oh man, here they come again. Where? How? Why? But we're too busy wanting a face-to-face confrontation, and we're confronting people on Facebook and Twitter, and you know, we're getting our point across and we're being heard. But what are you doing? Nothing. Nothing's being accomplished. Nothing's being solved. You're being pinpointed and marked as a troublemaker. So down the road, they're going to pull your profile and say, oh, Brother Brett, he felt this way about COVID-19. He said this about the mask. Hey, we need to have a conversation with you. Can you meet us at such and such place? Where's Brother Brett at? We haven't seen him for 6 months. He's been in a camp. He's being re-educated. This is how it works. This is how it works. You don't believe me? Look at some of the socialist communist countries right now. Go to China and say the stuff that you're saying in China on China's Facebook. See what happens to you. Go on. You got to appreciate what we have now. But if you don't understand how free you are, oh, just go ahead, do whatever you want. Take it. I can get it back later. No, you can't. Once it's gone, it's gone. Because the people that are in power right now want you to give it away. You know what they think about us? You're too dumb to understand what you really need. They say this. They say this openly and publicly because no one's going to challenge them. No one's going to confront them and say, this is wrong. Because they don't want to wait. They don't want to make waves. Again, it's not a person-to-person thing. It's spiritual. These people are being run by demons. They're being run by principalities and powers. And they are out to destroy. It's bigger than the person that you're dealing with face to face. This is a spiritual battle. This is something that I heard. You can take it before the Lord and judge it. I heard my church has not done this. They've not fought the enemy from the third heavens. And this is why they are losing this battle to the Antichrist. Children, you must understand that I am for you and not against you. You must understand that your enemy is out for blood. You can only stop him in my might and in my power. Nothing will stop your advancement in me, but you must not allow your enemy to drag you down into the muck and mire of life. You must not war on his level. You must war in the heavenlies with me. I have given you the tools that you need to defeat him, but will you use them and stop the onslaught against my peoples? That's an important question that I believe that the Spirit's asking us. Will you use the tools that you've been given? The harvest is ripe, but the laborers are so few. The laborers are distracted at this given time because there are not enough warriors covering their backs in the spirit realm. We're too busy questioning what's going on, why is it going on, how is it going on, when we should just be interceding and praying and fighting the demons. Stand up and fight the enemy. Stand up and protect the harvest that is coming in. Don't allow my harvest to be plundered. There is a works that I have called this nation to complete. I will aid her in completing this works, but my people must humble themselves and allow me to enter into them in a new way. You know how Pastor Barbara keeps saying it can't be church as usual. We can't go under the same anointings. We can't fight the spiritual battle that's ahead of us with the same things that we've been doing. The enemy's quick, he's crafty, he's clever. He uses different devices. Some of them are the same, but he manipulates them into different ways. And you can't just go into battle thinking, oh, I'll just do the same thing I did. I'm fasted, I'm prayed, I'm ready to go. You're going to get ate alive. You have to be in the Spirit. My church must become obedient to my every command. This is the hour of your greatest visitation if she, this nation, will only follow me. This task has to be completed by her, this nation. No other nation can fill what I'm asking this nation to do. I have purpose for my son, Donald J. Trump, to be your president at this given time, so that I can lead this nation into its finest glory ever. But decisions are being made against me and not for me. Wake up, my church. Wake up from your slumber and hear the battle raging. Join in the fight, church. Join in the fight. Your finest hour is upon you if you would just yield all unto me. I will see you through. I believe that this is the Spirit beckoning us to go deeper, beckoning us to not be complacent or comfortable where we're at right now. Even with the things that God has been doing in the recent weeks by dropping His glory in here, we need to keep seeking to go deeper because we need that deep level of anointing to be able to do the works and destroy the works of the enemy. It is critical at this given time that you look at this attack on the church as a coordinated effort by the devil and his angels. This is coordinated. The stuff that's going on with the riots, it's perfectly timed. And you have to look at this. Here you are stuck in your house for 2.5-3 months. Now all of a sudden, hey, let's stir up another fight here. Let's get people wanting to have martial law. I don't feel safe. So let's put the National Guard on the streets so that we feel safe. Violation of the Constitution. Let's give up our guns because if they hit us over the head and take our guns away from us, they're going to take my gun and shoot me with it. No, you have the right to bear arms and you need to be able to shoot them if they come through your door. They get on your property. You see how twisted our thinking has become? But socialists are telling us you don't know how to make that decision for yourself. You're stupid, and we understand that you're stupid. And because you're stupid, we want to help you. We're here to help you. It sounds dumb, but how many people are listening to this? They are. They look you right in your face. Oh, you're so dumb. You really need my help. Give me your money. I'll launch you out $1,200 because you don't know what to do with your money. You don't know how to feed yourself. I'm gonna give you food every 3 weeks. Come to the food bank. We'll take care of every one of your needs. And people are happy about that. They're excited about that. Something's wrong. Where is the rugged individualism that this nation was founded upon? I'll take care of my own. I'll go hunt, fish, whatever. Raise my own garden. You used to have war gardens back in the day where you provided food for your own family. You're not hearing people say that today. Nope, we're going to take the seeds and we're going to manipulate the seeds so it can only grow one season. You cannot be trusted to provide for yourself. You just can't. You're too stupid. You have to start hearing that you're too stupid when they make these statements. Because that's exactly what they're looking at you saying. You're too stupid. You can't control yourself. You can't help yourself. It's okay. We're here. Big government is here to help you. Just come to mama. We'll take care of all of your... It's good. Get in their pocket. Take everything out. It's okay. You have to start picturing this stuff in your mind, in your heart. And you have to think for yourself. You really do. I know it's scary. I know that this is a foreign concept to so many people that are listening to me. But this is what's going on. And the older generation, you've got to teach the younger generation what the truth is. You've got to tell them that you can suffer. You got to tell them you can make it through the depression. You got to tell them you can go without eating 3, 4, 40 days. You're not going to die. People go so crazy because I don't have anything to eat. I'm going to die. You're not. You won't. You won't. You can go without the big screen TV. You can sell it. You can make money. You can go without a cell phone. You don't have to have one. You don't. What law is there that says it's mandatory for your 12-year-old child, 10-year-old child to have an iPhone that costs $1,500? Sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. It's critical at this given time that you look at this attack on the church as a coordinated effort by the devil and his angels. This is not an accident. It was strategic. What's sad is that some in the church did not realize that they were even being attacked. This blows my mind the most. They didn't even know. You didn't know that you were being called stupid. You didn't even know that you were being robbed and stolen from. They just gave up the churches. This should have never been. The enemy has been trying to get the United States to become godless. We are not students of history as we used to be. And because of this, we are not reminding ourselves of what happened to the countries who do not serve God. Sometimes our understanding of revival is twisted. Many people don't realize that God is trying to save us from ourselves. Do you realize the path of destruction that we're headed on? Do you understand what Genesis 6 said? Genesis 6 said that God grew angry and tired at the people because they were prone to violence, they were prone to destruction, and God repented of making them. We're headed in that same direction again. And if we don't have revival, if we don't have change in our hearts, what's coming? What's coming for us? Destruction. Complete destruction. We've got to wake up. The path that we are on as a nation is leading us to destruction. Spiritual wickedness in high places have been sent to destroy this nation from the inside out. I guarantee you, if you go into every one of these political offices, there is somebody who has an Antichrist spirit in those offices. Whether it's the secretary, whether it's the elected official, the support staff, they're grouped up, and we're not prepared for this. All it takes is a flip of a switch, and all of these people get turned on. They get turned on, and they're turning against the church. You've got to understand this. They're going to get turned on, they're going to turn against the church, and we're going to be rounded up and gathered together. And who knows what else is going to happen. Prior to President Trump, this nation was on a slide into a pit of socialism. Many of the candidates for the presidential race have a heavy leaning towards socialism. Socialism is I got two definitions that make the most sense. Any of various economic and political theories advocating collective or governmental ownership and administration of the means of production and distribution of goods. Advocating the administration of means of production and distribution of goods. How many people were mad at President Obama because he didn't say, Procter & Gamble, I want you to make 1,000 masks a day. I want you to make toilet paper today. I want you to do this. I want you to make respirators. He didn't do that because it wasn't his job to do that. It wasn't his place. it should have been the private individuals, the private companies saying, hey, we'll step up and do this. He didn't go to them with a gun and said, you have to do this because we have a need. But so many people were mad at him because he didn't do that. That's socialism. We have shortages right now. It's because of supply and demand. We don't have enough supply for the demand. Eventually, it's going to level out. It's going to get to the place where everything goes back to where it was at. But if you don't understand this, if you're of the mindset that the government has to take care of me, your first thought is, hey, Mr. Government, I need some toilet paper. I need you to build some factories. Governments don't build factories. They don't have the means to do that. Private citizens, private individuals do. They have the initiative, the spunk, the desire, the creativity to do that. The only thing that government does is take your money and control you. So, number two, a system of society or a group living in which there is no private property. When you boil socialism down into this definition, no one in their right mind would want to give up their private property. If you purchase sneakers, would you not want the government coming in saying that your friend needed those sneakers more than you did, take them from you, and then give them to your friend? That's what socialism is about. Taking the stuff that you rightfully earned and giving it to somebody else. But when people talk about socialism, they don't use those simplistic terms. They start out saying that it's not fair that your neighbor gets to drive a Cadillac when you're stuck with the Pinto. They try to trick you with these terms. But the reality is they're trying the same government that you want to come and take away the person's Cadillac is going to be the same one that's coming and take away your Pinto. And you have to look at it this way. You have to see it from this perspective in order to see what's really going on. Now, I want to go through 9 steps that lead to socialism. And this was written by Tom Del Beccaro. The first step is massive government spending. Socialist states have government at the center of the economies and feature enormous spending programs. Listen at this. In early 1990s, Sweden often cited as a socialist state, government spending exceeded 70% of its economy. Under President Jefferson, government spending was approximately 2 to 3% of the economy. Today, we are at 36%. Sweden, now walking away from socialism, has reduced its spending share to just over 50%. So Sweden used to be at 70%, walked away from socialism and went to 50% instantaneously. What are we trying to push ourselves into? Government education, retirement, and medical care, nearly cradle-to-grave spending, are 3 cornerstones of future socialist states. You got to have Obamacare. I can't think of the other name that they call for it. Minority? Marketplace. You got to have marketplace healthcare. You know, this is controlled by the government, owned by the government. You can't live on that. You're unable to pay for yourself. How many people signed up for the welfare system over these last 2-3 months? Because the government came in and stepped in and took control. How many people left the job that they had because it made more money for them to be on welfare than it did for them to wait during this period of time? They did. They left it. They're not going to come back to those companies. Those companies are destroyed because of what took place. Obama once said you can create a governing majority of those dependent on government. This is the key here that I think everybody needs to understand. Once you start depending upon the government to do something for you, you're hooked. And it becomes a symbiont relationship. You're the symbiont. and the government's sucking the life out of you. Elizabeth Warren is now promoting universal child care, which would extend that dependence. Step number two, massive tax systems that reduce incentives. Increased tax burdens go hand in hand with spending. Throughout history, tax systems start out simple and wind up complex and burdensome. By the end of Rome's socialism under Diocletian, according to the historian Will Durant, taxation rose to such heights that men lost the incentive to work or earn, and an erosive context began between lawyers finding devices to evade taxes and lawyers formulating laws to prevent evasion, which led the Romans to flee, seeking refuge among the barbarians. We have a tax code so complicated and long that few can do their own taxes. Not satisfied, politicians threaten massive income tax hikes, wealth tax confiscation, and penalties for those who want to leave the country. I watched some of the debates that went on in the beginning part of the Democratic primary for presidency, and I could not believe out of all of the 20 candidates said, I'm going to raise your taxes. And they said it as a campaign promise. You're too stupid to manage your own money, so I'm going to raise your taxes so that I can do that for you. People applauded. They cheered. We're in a battle. We're in a battle. 10 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. 20 years ago, that wouldn't have happened. You're raising my taxes? Really? Oh, I'm not voting for you. Yeah. Absolutely, you're going to fight. Step three, reduced growth leading to economic stagnation. Over the last 20 years, the European Union, which featured socialist and semi-socialist states, had almost zero economic growth. Over the last 60 years, while our governments grew to 36% of the economy and imposed trillions in regulation, our growth slipped from an average of 4% to 2%. So what's just happened now with COVID-19? Nothing was built, nothing was created, nothing was bought or sold, so our growth is going down. It's pushing us towards socialism. Step four, deficits. In semi-socialist Greece, once on the brink of being a failed state, government debt as a percentage of the economy is nearly 180%. Can you imagine that? The debt of the government was 180%. So 180% of the economy already started out as a whole. Already started out as, you can't do that. They'd be coming to take you out your house. They'd be coming to take your car. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't pay you today. Really? Okay. What time can we come pick up your stuff? Because you're not keeping it. But governments are allowed to do this? Deficits. That would be like having a credit card nearly double your income. In the United States, the debt ratio has exploded in the last decade, rising to nearly 106%. Step five, governments print money. What did we just do? We printed what, $2.3 billion, $1 trillion? Oh, we need money? We need to give everybody a $1,200 check, $2,400 check? No problem. We'll just print it right out. They didn't get any gold. They didn't create any services. They didn't sell anything. They didn't sell off anything. Oh, we need more money? Okay. I would like to do that. I would like to get some ink and some paper. I need $1 million. Just go to my computer, hit the print button, and go. But government's okay to do that. We're allowing them to do that. We're pushing ourselves towards socialism. Government fixes prices and declares when goods can be sold. Diocletian set wage and price controls for socialist Rome. In Venezuela, people can only shop on certain days, and shopping malls can only be open 2 days a week. Free of that today in the 1970s, we had gas rationing and double-digit inflation. What did they do to us? Walmart shut down. After 9 o'clock, you close. Can't go in there. What other stuff did they shut down? Can't do. Restaurants. Couldn't get a haircut. I looked like the woolly mammoth for 3 months. Just shut it down. You don't have a right. You don't have a, because you're too stupid to make decisions for yourself. So we, the government, a small handful of people, decide what's going to happen to you. Underground economies rise. The more crushing taxation, spending, inflation, and regulations are, the larger the underground economy. People turn to a barter system because paper money becomes worthless. Paper money becomes worthless. In Greece, the underground economy is said to be to exceed 20% of the economy. America's, by contrast, is around 5 to 6%. We don't see this because we don't think about it. You could get a Happy Meal for $3. What's the price of a Happy Meal now? $6, $7. The food hasn't gotten bigger. It's gotten smaller. A loaf of bread is $2.58 in some places. We don't see it because we don't take the time to dissect what's really going on to us. We're being pushed into this hole every day. The cans are getting smaller. Your mayonnaise jars are getting smaller. And we're like, oh, okay, it's cheap. It's $3. Yeah, but this is the can. You used to could feed your whole family on a can of soup. Not no more. You got to buy 16 of them. We're being pushed into socialism. Step 8. Class warfare begins, tearing the fabric of society. I'm better than you. White people are better than black people. Black people are better than white people. Class warfare. We're all being tricked into fighting one another. All being tricked. I know I'm running out of time. I'm sorry. Let me get to the last one. Total societal discord. Step 9. In ancient Greece, debtors, when the legislative ransoming of the rich's wealth was not enough, murdered creditors, as in, I know I messed that word up, Mytilene. Today, Venezuela is in near total societal breakdown as tens of thousands seek to flee the country amidst a socialist dictatorship, a growing police state, empty store shelves, little medicine, and even less order. This last quote I want to read you, I got out of a book by Stephen Strang, and it's called God, Trump in the 2020 election. It says, look at the 20 or so Democrats who tossed their hats into the ring well over a year before the election, hoping to be nominated by their party. They espouse a form of socialism that to me almost sounds like communism. Here's the thing that got me, and I never put this together until I read this. The leftward progression towards communism begins with liberalism. You can do whatever you want to do. Just don't affect nobody else. Moves to progressivism. Then becomes socialism. And finally, communism. I heard someone say that a socialist is really a communist with a gun. These socialists on the left are trying to take over without guns. And we're letting them do it. If they can get voted in, they will take over everything. Socialists will regulate every part of our lives. They'll take away our freedoms, and if they do, how will we ever get those freedoms back? We're in a war. We are in a severe battle. The church is under attack. This nation's under attack. Any nation that believes the same things that we do, we're under attack. It's a part of the Antichrist system. We have a lot of work to do. We have a lot of work to do in this end time hour. Does everybody understand everything that was said tonight? I didn't leave anybody in the dark, confused. I know this is heavy, but you got to understand because this plays a heavy part in the elections that's coming up. There's a primary that's coming up in Delaware, I believe, in July for the Democrats and the Republicans. I believe they have primaries. You don't have to vote the way that we agree. But you need to vote. You just need to vote. You go to the ballot box, and here's something that I learned that I want to share with you. If you don't like any of the candidates, you go to the booth, don't press the button for the candidate, go down to the bottom and press vote. That counts your vote as abstentio. You're actually being counted as voting in the pool of voters, but you're not making a choice for those people. Everybody understand what I'm saying? So what happens to the church? Oh, I'm not going to participate. I'm not voting in the election. Well, your vote doesn't get counted because you never went to the office in the booth and pressed the button. So you don't have to vote for anybody, but you need to go to the office and press the button so that it gets counted. Look at C-SPAN. You'll see they'll say 235 yays, 185 nays, 15 abstains. That counts towards the record. But not everybody knows that. They think, well, I'm not going to vote, so I'm just going to stay home, and that counts. No, it doesn't count. It doesn't show up. So what if the church made a decision that we were going to abstain from voting, and we went to the voting booth, and we hit vote at the bottom of it? It could throw the election. So, for example, a simple race, you had 100 ballots, okay? There's 100 votes cast. 20 of them were for yay, 20 of them for nay, 60 of them for abstain. They'd have to do another vote because abstain won. But we've never been taught this. We've never been showed this before. All we've heard was, well, I'm not going to vote, and the decision was I'm not going to participate. Well, you didn't participate and you voted. Whatever the yeses said, you voted with the yeses. But there's a way of getting around that by going to the voting booth and pressing vote. You don't have to click the little buttons in the box. And that's a misconception. That's a misnomer that people just don't know. So vote. If you're not registered to vote, go register. Do your part. Fight the fight that you're supposed to fight in the battle against socialism. No questions? Everybody good? Father, I thank you for everything that you brought out tonight. I pray that it goes deep within everybody's spirit. You cover each and every person in the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that these words would produce fruit, they would grow, and that every one of us would receive the truth and knowledge that you want us to receive. And not only that, but that we would spread it so that we can bring in the harvest in this season. And Father, we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed. We'll see you Sunday, 10 a.m. for Sunday school.